the business world as a hunting ground. There are many women who take their place in the working world of today, secretaries and shop assistants, factory workers and stewardesses, not to mention those countless hearty young women who populate the colleges and universities in ever-increasing numbers. One might even get the impression that woman's nature had undergone a radical change in the last 20 years. Today's young women appear to be less unfair than their mothers. They seem to have decided, perhaps out of pity for their victims, not to exploit men anymore, but to become, in truth, their partners. The impression is deceptive. The only truly important act in any woman's life is the selection of the right partner. In any other choice, she can afford to make a mistake. Consequently, she will look for a man where he works or studies and where she can best observe and judge the necessary masculine qualities she values. Offices, factories, colleges, and universities are, to her, nothing but gigantic marriage markets. The particular field chosen by any young woman as a hunting ground will depend to a large extent on the level of income of the man who has previously been her slave, in other words, her father. The daughters of men in the upper income brackets will choose colleges or universities. These offer the best chances of capturing a man who will earn enough to maintain the standards she has already acquired. Besides, a period of study for form's sake is much more convenient than a temporary employment. Girls from less well-off homes will have to go into factories, shops, offices, or hospitals for a time, but again with the same purpose in mind. None of them intends to stay in these jobs for long. They will continue only until marriage, or in cases of hardship, till pregnancy. This offers women one important advantage. Any woman who marries nowadays has given up her studies or her job for the sake of the man of her choice, and sacrifices of this nature create obligations. Therefore, when women work and study, it merely serves to falsify statistics and furthermore to enslave men more hopelessly than ever, because education and the professions mean something very different when applied to women as opposed to men. When a man works, it is a matter of life and death, and as a rule, the first years of his life are decisive. Any man of 25 who is not well on his way up the ladder can be considered, to all intents and purposes, a hopeless case. At this stage, all his faculties are being developed, and the fight with his competitors is a fight to the death. Behind the mask of business friendship, he is constantly on the watch for any sign of superiority in one of his associates, and he will note its appearance with anxiety. If this same associate shows signs of weakness or indecision, it must be taken advantage of at once. Yet man is only a tiny cog in a gigantic business machine, he himself being in effect exploited at every turn. When he drives others, he drives himself most of all. His orders really are orders from above, passed on by him. If the men at the top occasionally take time to praise him, it is not in order to make him happy. It is only to spur him on, to stimulate him to greater effort. For man who was brought up to be proud and honorable, every working day is merely an endless series of humiliations. He shows enthusiasm for products he finds useless. He laughs at jokes he finds tasteless. He expresses opinions which are not his own. Not for a moment is he allowed to forget that the merest oversight may mean demotion, that one slip of the tongue may spell the end of his career. Yet woman, who is the prime cause of all these struggles and under whose very eyes these fights take place, just stands aside and watches. Going to work means to her flirting and dates, teasing and banter, with the odd bit of labor done for the sake of appearances, work for which, as a rule, she has no responsibility. She knows that she is only marking time, and even if she does have to go on working for one reason or another, At least she has had years of pleasant dreams. She watches men's battles from a safe distance, occasionally applauding one of the contestants, encouraging or scolding, and while she makes their coffee, opens their mail, or listens to their telephone conversations, she is cold-bloodedly taking her pick. The moment she has found Mr. Wright, she retires gracefully, leaving the field open to her successors. American colleges admit more and more women, but the percentage who actually complete their courses is less than before the Second World War. They sit happily in lectures designing their spring wardrobe and between classes flirt with boys. With their scarlet nails, carefully protected by transparent rubber gloves, they play around with corpses in the dissecting rooms while their male colleagues realize their whole future is at stake. If a woman leaves the university with an engagement ring on her finger, she has earned her degree. Man has hardly begun when he obtains his diploma. Degrees are, after all, easy to come by. You only have to memorize. How many examiners can tell the difference between real knowledge and bluff? Man, however, has to understand his subject as well. His later success will depend on whether his knowledge is well-founded. His later prestige will be built on this, and often other people's lives are dependent on it. None of these battles exist for woman. If she breaks off her studies and marries a university lecturer, she has achieved the same level as he has without exerting herself. As the wife of a factory owner, she is treated with greater respect than he is, and not as somebody who at best would be employable on the assembly line in the same factory. As a wife, she always has the same standard of living and social prestige and has to do nothing to maintain them, as he does. For this reason, the quickest way to succeed is always to marry a successful man. She does not win him by her industry, ambition, or perseverance, but simply through an attractive appearance. We have already seen what demands the well-trained man makes on a woman's appearance. The best women trainers, without the least effort, catch the most successful fighters among men. The so-called beautiful women are usually those who have had an easy life from their childhood days and therefore have less reason than others to develop their intellectual gifts. Intelligence is developed only through competition. It follows as a logical consequence that very successful men usually have abysmally stupid wives. Unless, of course, one considers woman's skill at transforming herself into bait for a man a feat of intelligence. It has almost become a commonplace that a really successful man, be he a company director, financier, shipping magnate, or orchestra conductor, will, when he reaches the zenith of his career, marry a beautiful model, usually his second or third wife. Men who have inherited money often take such a supergirl as their first wife, although she will be exchanged over the years for another. Yet, as a rule, models are women of little education who have not even finished school and have nothing to do until they marry but look beautiful and pose becomingly in front of a camera. But they are beautiful, and that makes them potentially rich. As soon as a woman has caught her man, she gives up her career for love. Or, at least, that is what she will tell him. After all, he could hardly be flattered by the thought that she has been saved in the nick of time from having to sweat her way through examinations. He would much rather get drunk on the idea of the love that knows no compromise, which this woman pretends to feel for him. Who knows, he thinks. She might have become a famous surgeon, celebrated prima ballerina, brilliant journalist, and she has given it all up for him. He would never believe that she preferred to be the wife of a famous surgeon, to have his income and prestige without having either the work or the responsibility. Therefore, he resolves to make her life at his side as comfortable as possible to compensate for her great sacrifice. A small percentage, 10 to 20%, of women students in industrialized countries of the West do, in fact, obtain their degrees before they get married. Despite occasional exceptions, they are, as a rule, less attractive and have failed to catch a suitable provider while still in school. But then this degree will automatically raise their market value, for there are certain types of men who feel bolstered if their wife has a degree, provided they have one themselves. It is clear evidence of his own cleverness if such a highly educated woman is interested in him. If, by chance, this female mastermind happens to be sexy, he will be beside himself with joy. But not for long. Even women doctors, women sociologists, and women lawyers sacrifice their careers for their men, or at least set them aside. They withdraw into suburban ranch houses, have children plant flower beds, and fill their homes with the usual trash. Within a few years, these new entertainments obliterate the small amount of expert knowledge learned by rote, of course, and they become exactly like their female neighbors.